Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dirt and Sprague.
In games like this, you find a way to win, and you make sure that you continue moving forward, and our guys are really excited about the fact that they've earned the opportunity to play an extra week.
We feel like we're a complete team, and I think we've showed that the last, 8 or 9 straight weeks.
This is a Pac-12 Championship Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Visit Allen Webb Mitsubishi in the Vancouver Auto Mall or online at allenwebbmitsubishi.com.
Huntley, rolling, throwing, and it is caught, touchdown!
Pac-12 Championship Week with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 12:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you on this beautiful Monday afternoon.
What is happening?
You know, just chaos everywhere. NFL, college football, championship games, coaches leaving, coaches coming, not coming. I don't know. It's everywhere right
People
now.
People getting duped by coaching news. It's all over the place. And it's a really sad show today.
Why is it sad?
It's our last one for like a month.
You packed.
This is our last one.
I am packed. I got packed last night.
We're not going to be. We're not going to do a show together again until after Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, that would be correct.
We got a long break here, man.
A little bit of a break. I call it a primetime break. It's about what December is for primetime. Yeah. So we're pulling a primetime this year.
You need to unplug a little bit. You take a couple weeks. I'll take a couple weeks. Bingo, bango. We'll be back after Christmas.
I'll be gone. You'll be here. You'll be gone. Swag will be here. Swag will be gone. Swag will be busy.
It's that time of year, man.
You'll come back. I'll come back.
Here you all set? You ready to go? Vietnam tomorrow.
I am not set at the house. Got a couple last minute things I got to clean. Got to straighten before I leave. But packing, passports, you know, all that crap, it's ready to go.
It's all dialed in. I saw the wife did a bunch of shopping, got all the travel essentials.
Little travel size things, because you got to have that. Got a bunch of bug spray, because I guess they got bugs over there that carry stuff we don't have.
Ooh, that's not good. Yeah, did you have to get any shots for this?
Yeah, you have to get immunizations or anything?
We had to take a typhoid solution, but they didn't have shots available, so we had to do pills for 4 days
screwed.
It doesn't kick in for 2 weeks.
You're screwed.
I'm going to get typhoid.
You totally are. What is typhoid? What happens when you get it?
It's basically a tropical fever. It's a fever we don't get here. So.
Nice. Yeah. So you got that going for you.
I got that going for me. But, you know, look, I am dreading this flight. Tonight will be strictly, I'll get home. I got a couple work emails for the show to help you guys out. And then once I send those off, I am going to be spending probably about 2.5 to 3 hours of downloading movies and music. So
that's the key.
I was actually going to ask listeners for any music suggestions out there of good albums from anybody.
See, now, can you do music for that long on a flight? I don't know if I can. I'm more of a watch guy. If I have to be, like, if I'm on a short flight and it's in, like, a part, like, if I'm going to Vegas, I'm a big music guy because you want to, you could kind of get amped, listen to some
it's
party
music.
It's only
2 hours, yeah.
Right, a quick flight. You're having a couple of cocktails on the flight anyway, so you're good. But when I'm on the, when I'm on a plane for that long, I have to go watching something.
Yeah, no. I didn't watch The Irishman on Netflix.
Okay, there's about 4 hours.
That's for the flight. I'm going to probably watch a couple HBO series. I need to finish Sopranos still. Been stuck on season 4 forever. And then I got, me and the wife got a book. We're both going to read the same book.
Oh.
Murder mystery book. I hate these kind of books, but I did it for her.
Little book club, who did it?
you count in the fact that I'll be parenting, and you're right. I won't be listening to music all that much. But you know me. I actually like a real wide range of music. I lean strong hip-hop, a little R&B.
Sure.
But I'll listen to good rock. I'll listen to good classic rock.
Okay, okay.
Modern day, whatever it is.
Yeah, I also feel like every trip, too, has a different vibe of music.
Yes.
Right? Like, when you're going on a vacation like this, not every kind of music's going to apply to you.
Well, here's the other part. I will still be exercising at every hotel we go to, so I'll be listening to music when I go work out. So I'll still need music.
Sure, very true, very true. A little workout while you're on vacation.
But I'm ready, my man. I've got MLB to PDX t-shirt that I'll take and send a little, hey, we're in Vietnam now.
That's the key, man. You got to take that picture, tweet it to them.
And then everybody in our group, there's 15 of us going.
Okay.
We all have a Blazers tee, and we're going to Da Nang, which has the bridge, the Hand of God bridge.
Okay.
It's the two stone hands that are holding a bridge. And we have a big selfie stick that goes way out. And we're going to take one with a giant hand in the back. And if we're not on that Blazers,
where in the world? Are we going to see you? Yeah, where in the world?
Where in the world, the Sprague family?
I want anybody working for the Trailblazers right now to hear this.
Listen up.
If you do not choose this photo, because we'll take about six different ones, by the way.
Okay, pick the best one.
I am going to actively railroad your choosing of who is getting on this show. For where in the world? For as long as I live.
You're going to make fun of every single one.
Every single one. Oh, it's so really? Original. Bob in Hawaii standing in Maui. Shocking.
Yeah, like nobody's ever been to Hawaii before.
I might even go dark. I might go, hey, guys, I've noticed it's a lot of white people in these photos, huh? We're not choosing ethnicity. I might go there. I might. It might be one of those
Sprague,
situations.
That's a pretty intense trip.
Did you see the NBA gave you a gift on your last show before you're out of here?
I don't know. What are you referring to?
They have just named Carmelo Anthony NBA Player of the Week for the Western Conference.
I think that's the biggest news of the day, and we should start there. There's nothing else going on. How about Melo in the last handful of games, huh?
Just a little present for you on your way out of town.
I still don't know what this is going to ultimately mean, having Melo as a Blazer, but can we pull the audio of me saying, it actually can get worse, and it hasn't gotten worse?
So far, it has not gotten worse.
But I'm ready to go. I'm going to miss you guys a lot.
I'm going to miss you, man.
Do you guys have any requests? You want any, like, small gifts?
I'm picturing, what's the sports guy in Anchorman? What's his name?
Oh.
Champ.
Champ, is it Champ?
Champ something, yeah.
We love you, Ron! I'm going to miss you, Ron! Is that guy right now in the newsroom? Come on, Ron! We love you, man!
Come on, man! No, I asked my brother this, my older brother, and he goes, yeah, can you give me, what's a guy in Street Fighter? And I was like,
what?
Are you talking about Raiden with the rice patty hat? And he goes, yeah, I want to be him for Halloween. Could you get me an authentic one?
Yeah, bring one of those back in your suitcase. That's
sure.
easy.
Let me just toss it right in there.
Surprise me. Something that's truly, authentically Vietnamese.
Don't buy me anything. Don't buy me anything.
No. Just,
oh, okay.
No, you don't. I mean, yeah. I don't expect anything.
You want a keychain with Andy in Vietnamese?
No, I'm good. I'm good with that, man. I'll pass. No, you don't need. No, the last thing that
you
need.
Why do you have a super Asian keychain here?
When you have to go someplace and then while you're on vacation, you're like thinking of what you should get somebody and then it like consumes some of your thoughts. No, because you're going to forget about it. And then by the time you remember, it's probably going to be something stupid and pointless anyways.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's right. I got to get Dirt a gift. It's going to be something dumb I don't want. I'm never going to use. Don't worry about it.
Well, there's also the dangers of getting something really badass and then having somebody destroy it. Like I did with, you got me an Augusta Masters towel.
I did.
And my wife cut it in threes.
She did. She didn't understand the significance of said towel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was a conversation.
That was like an $80 towel, too.
Oh, I'm well aware.
Oh, wow.
I'm very well aware. We walked away from that.
That's like cold shoulder for at least a week.
See, I don't roll like that, but I really let her know how I felt.
At the most inopportune times.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like the time you cut up the Masters towel Dirt got me?
I ranted for about 15 minutes straight about that. I was like, this is the Masters. This is what it means. This is why it's important. Dirt got this for me, so it means a lot more, you know, because that guy, he's so likable. And she walked away still not understanding what the big deal was that she cut a towel.
Didn't compute.
Did not register with her that this was a big deal to me.
I'm assuming chocolate-covered macadamia nut clusters always work.
When you brought them back from Hawaii, I wasn't mad.
Okay.
Yeah, something edible like
I'll
that.
I'll get you an Asian candy. How about a cricket?
Oh, okay, sure.
I'll get you something super Vietnamese where they're like, oh, this is the best thing ever, and I'll taste it, not like it, bring it back for
you
guys.
That actually would have been a funny bet to do instead of me jumping in the river, is for you to find the grossest thing you could food-wise in Vietnam and then bring it back and have that be the loser.
Yeah, the danger in that, though, is just it's probably something out of the ocean, sure, and you got to eat it within an hour or it goes bad.
Very true.
So, yeah, this is my last show until maybe after Christmas. I don't know what Boss Man has planned, but I will be gone until the 23rd.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. A couple of week vacation, and at least it's a busy show where there is, I don't know how we're going to fit all this in today.
Yeah, there's a lot to get to. We have a very busy show. It's going to be a very fluid show as well. Like, Mike Yam is set to join us for the ticker. I'm no longer sure if that's going to happen. He's been texting me, so he might join us. Or the Pac-12 Network is losing the rest right now because they just had a huge bombshell dropped on them.
Yeah.
And so Yam will either be the ticker or he'll get moved. We've got Chris Fetters, who works for Dogman.com. He covers the Huskies. We've had him on a few times. Always enjoy having him on. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a big deal today is that Chris Peterson, if you're just tuning in, Chris Peterson has stepped down as the Washington head coach. I mean, this is out of complete left field.
Swigard playing that sound drop? Wow, what are you trying to tell us here, Swag?
Well, he took the Cougars plus 7.5, and that was a mistake.
As did I.
Hey, how about this? If my plane goes down tomorrow.
Okay.
Which, by the way, as you start the show, I think we depart right at noon for Korea.
Okay.
If my plane goes down, let it be known on the record, my last weekend of picks in the Pac-12 and spraying line, I went undefeated.
You hit it.
I went.
No,
I
think you missed one Pac-12 pick.
Which one?
I think you took. I just looked at these before the show.
Which one?
According to my calculation, no, you did not.
I went undefeated.
You did.
Yeah.
You did.
I had a couple close ones. Arizona got blown out, and Utah barely covered against Colorado.
Notre Dame was a little shaky there for a while.
Notre Dame was shaky. Yeah, they were up. They were down big.
You did. Yeah.
Look at that. There we go.
Nice little 9-0 weekend, baby.
And if I die, that's going to be one little thing I think about as I die. Like, you know what? Okay. Could have ended worse. But we got a good show today. A lot to get to. NFL whip around. But let's start with the big news of the day. And then we'll get to Mike Yam. We'll talk some Civil War because both Dirt and I were there. And we'll get our thoughts on that. We got the Pac-12 title game coming up on Friday. So no show Friday. So 4 days of just getting all this in. Oh, and by the way, did Paul Feinbaum hop on ESPN to tell everybody that Bama was one of the four best?
Did we get that? I've not seen that yet.
Oh.
No. Did not see that one. ESPN did say mathematically there's still a chance they make the playoff.
His big ears out of here. Nobody want to hear that crap. Okay, we'll start with the big news, and that was that Chris Peterson has stepped down as the Washington football coach. Huge news. We'll read some of the release. What are your thoughts? Is this mean he's going to USC? Let's share all opinions at the Better You Today text line. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague with you on 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. 12:15 on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. The big news came out about an hour ago. I was having a conversation with a coworker, and Dirt was behind me, and all I kept hearing was, whoa. And then like maybe a minute of silence, whoa.
Well, I had to be careful because I walked in today and you got duped by the Mike Leach story. Because I walk into the office, first thing you say to me is Mike Leach is going to Ole Miss.
Yep.
I'm like, wait, what? And then Dusty from two cubicles over goes, fake news, not real. So yeah. I saw this headline and I started reading and I was like, am I getting duped right now? So I said a couple of woes just to make sure.
You needed that because I was stupid enough to just see it and go, oh, Leach is gone, retweet, there you go. And then 24/7 came out and said, that guy is not a real employee, this is fake. But no, Chris Peterson and Washington announced this morning that he is stepping down as the head coach of the university. Jimmy Lake, the DC, he immediately steps in the role as the head coach. He gets a salary bump to about $3 million. So Jimmy Lake already making more than Mario Cristobal.
Yeah, how about that?
And here we are. He's basically stepping away for, he needs to recharge is what he said in the press release. But Chris Peterson. Everybody, by the way, in Seattle media, this is all out of left field. Even UW might have been caught off guard with this announcement or this decision as that he has decided to step away for a while.
This is wild, man. I don't think anybody saw this coming. I saw the play-by-play voice of Washington sent out a tweet about a half hour ago. I thought it was interesting. Mike Yam, who we have on in a few moments, retweeted it.
He's going to be on at 12:30,
He's
by
coming
the way,
on at 12:30. So he tweeted out, the voice of the Huskies tweeted out, last year when we prepared to play ASU, Coach Pete told me he was somewhat envious of Herm Edwards' ability to get back into coaching after some time off. He said he wished coaches could go on sabbaticals to get a break, return to their job. It's a really tough business. I find that interesting about this news today because when it first breaks, your mind goes to where's he going? Is he taking the USC job? Is he trying to be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys? Is he tired of recruiting? Right? Does he want to jump to the NFL? Your mind starts kind of swirling with what is the next move. And to me, there is going to be another move. Chris Peterson, I would be shocked if he is retiring. I'm not sure how old. I think he's 50-something years old. So I don't think he's quite to the – he's 55. He's 55 years old. So I would be shocked if he was done with coaching. I think this is maybe going to become somewhat of a new trend, that there is a pretty high burnout level for some of these guys. And for those who can't live it and breathe it 24-7, year after year after year, he has been a head coach now since 2006. In college football. That is a 13-year run where you're working constantly year-round. And he's seen guys like Herm Edwards do this. He's seen Urban Meyer now do it twice, and we all expect Urban Meyer to get back into the coaching ranks. Maybe he feels like he's accomplished all that he could accomplish at Washington. He's leaving him in good hands with Jimmy Lake, and he's going to go take a year or two sabbatical, work in media, get a paycheck, and then figure out where he wants to go from there. But this is pretty shocking news for the Pac-12 today.
He finishes his career. Well, he is going to coach the bowl game, so yes. It should be known. His 1-4 bowl record could end up being 2-4, and his overall record right now today is 54-26, a .675 winning percentage. That could be 55-26 or 54-27. Weird, in 2013, he was a Boise coach. They went 8-4. They didn't play in a bowl game. At least it's not listed on his coaching reference.
I don't think he coached them. I think he left for
that's
the
when
UW
he left
job.
UW.
Yeah.
Correct.
So I don't think he coached the team in the bowl
that
game.
That was probably Harsin then. Okay, you're right. But other than that, he's been in a bowl game every single year that he's been a head coach since 2006. I'm with you. He does not strike me as take immediate job guy after stepping down like tomorrow.
But that's just a weird, I've never seen somebody take a job like that. You just take the job. Don't announce you're stepping down.
It's true.
Gonna stay with the athletic program and then a week later become the head coach at USC.
And I'm with you. He's, you know, Pat Casey had this. Pat Casey walked away and goes, I'm gonna be in the athletic department. Everybody goes, yeah, sure, Pat. And then a year later they were like, Pat, you're gonna come back? And he finally was like, no, not coming back. Mitch Cam's going to have the job.
He thought about it for a year. He didn't know if he wanted to officially retire, and then he loved it, and he decided to stay away.
And Pat Casey, I use him because I just think him and Peterson are so much alike in different way, in so many ways and also different, but Casey could end up being a baseball coach at another college program, or maybe he gets a bump up to a minor league or a pro level, whatever.
Sure.
I wouldn't be stunned by that. I think guys like this, they operate. I mean, when you're a head coach from 06 to 19, and that's not mentioning, by the way, the assistant years building up to 2006, one of which was spent in Oregon. That is so much on your personal life. Those guys make good money. They do. And I think most people would trade places salary-wise in a minute. But then you take into the account of how much you see in your family, how much vacation you're really getting, how much you're really decompressing from football. I think that's when Mike Leach does these interviews with anybody. He would just much prefer to get away from it. I mean, even for 10 minutes. I think Leach is a good example of this. Even a 10-minute interview probably feels an immense weight lifted off of Mike Leach's mind and his shoulders,
when he
right?
gets to BS about squirrels and social media,
yes,
or whatever the case may
because
be.
Because all week it is. I mean, we had him on a Friday. Or no, we had him on a Thursday. And on a Thursday, or no, it was a Friday. On a Friday, he was like as serious Leach as you could get.
Yeah, day before the game.
And he was still willing to answer questions about potatoes and gravy, right? So I just think it really shows you how much this can wear on you. And I've said this before, coaching is probably one of the more unhealthy professions you can get in, not counting coal mining or something of that effect.
Sure.
It's one of those, you don't think it would, but the amount of stress it creates from said salary you earn and then maybe lack of winning or not getting that one bowl game.
I mean, there's no offseason, man.
No offseason.
In college football, there's no
offseason. Year-round, two signing days.
Yeah.
I think you're ultimately right. My only wonder is if USC calls you in a month and they're offering you about $7 million and almost full control of the football department, even in the athletic director level, are you really saying no to that? Are you really going to want to walk away and be recharged, or are you going to let somebody else step into that job if they get rid of Clay Helton?
That to me would be a really bad look. I think to step down in this regard, especially with all the things that he said about transfer kids over the last calendar year. You know, we've had our issues with Peterson in that regard. I remember he did the interview with Isaac and Suka Pac-12 Media Day and basically said, guys, we're taking the easy way out. Everybody's tapping out and quitting nowadays. There's nobody that wants to stick through and finish the job, if you will. He's very anti-transfer portal. He initially blocked one of his kids from playing or having eligibility right away at UCLA. Right, his stance on that is pretty clear and dry. And if you're able, or if you end up stepping down from UW, announcing you're basically just going to retire retire and be a part of the athletic department. Then a month later, you take a prime job in the same conference where, by the way, I believe they play Washington next year. They do. They host Washington next year in L.A. Like, that to me is a really bad look. And it's not that it's something new that college coaches are phony, but Chris Peterson, at least up until this point, has been somebody who is well-respected. He's not known as shady. He practices what he preaches. And I think there's probably a lot of Husky fans, honestly, that say they wish he would lax his recruiting standards a little bit to welcome in a few more questionable kids if they have the talent to put you over the top. But he has really strict standards on their players that he will bring in.
I think see Marcus Peters year
exactly,
one.
Exactly, kicked him out of the program immediately to set the tone for what he wanted at Washington. To be two-faced to that level of criticizing kids for tapping out, and then you go through 1-7-5 season after having three straight 10-win seasons, things look a little tough. You tap out, then take the job at USC. That's a bad look. And I'm on record now. I don't think he's going to do that. I think this is a sabbatical for Chris Peterson. To me, it's not about just one job. Chris Peterson, if he throws his name in the ring a year or two from now, is going to have his pick of the litter of wherever he wants to go in college football, whether it's in the Pac-12 on the East Coast. The same thing as Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer didn't quit just to get the USC job. There's a lot of other attractive jobs that could be open in the next 2-3 years. Maybe it's in the NFL, and he's just waiting it out. I don't see that happening in the short term for Peterson.
Well, that's one rumor that's been floated out, is that Peterson's kind of always been an underrated dark horse for an NFL gig, and that some people believe he actually is very interested in going to the next level. And then all you're into is football. There's no recruiting, no, you know, donor dinners that you got to go to and BS some speech you don't care about.
That was a big thing for Chip Kelly, man. He hated all that stuff with college football.
And ultimately, Chip got that experience. Now, is Peterson willing to do it? Some, you know, people are starting to float out ideas, right? And one I saw that was gaining a little traction just in terms of retweets and stuff was, one person was like, hey, a guy that's kind of always flirted with the NFL, there might be the most prominent job available, and his former quarterback is currently the offensive coordinator. Dallas? Huh? Hello? Mm-hmm. Now, look, I still, he doesn't strike me as guy that does this. I'm not going to put it past if it does, because as you mentioned, we've seen this so many times in the past. But for him to just hang it up randomly, you know, I don't know.
It makes you wonder if something, this is just too random. Is there something else going on?
It really makes you feel like there's something brewing that we're either going to have to wait to find out, or it'll leak, or this just point blank hit him. And in that case, good for him. But as you mentioned with the summer interview with Isaac and Suk, don't go on radio shows and railroad and bash 19 to 20 year old kids who aren't playing for wanting to leave to go play somewhere, and talk about how you need to stop quitting, and then in the middle of your multi-million dollar contract, up and quit. It's pretty hypocritical to a certain degree there.
It for sure can be. You know who this
I found him to be, in his tenure in Washington, because I didn't see him and hear from him as much at Boise, I have kind of found him to be old man on the lawn a little too much, and to be a little bit of a hypocrite on some of that stuff.
Sure,
he's a great coach, but
maybe that's part of the reason leading into why he would want to go to the NFL. He's just tired of dealing with the transfer portal. He doesn't like working with kids these days, right? Along those lines. You know who this is very similar of, though? And they're almost identical in age when they made their decision, is Bob Stoops. Bob Stoops right now is 59 years old. He stepped down 3-4 years ago. So he was.
This is year four for Riley, right?
Right. So he was 55, 56 years old when he stepped down. Chris Peterson's 55 years old right now. And when Bob Stoops did it, it came out of left field. It's like, huh? You just won the Sugar Bowl? Like, is there more reasoning here? And no, I'll be a part of the athletic program. Lincoln Riley's going to take over, and he's going to coach the team, and they've been great ever since Lincoln Riley took over. And everybody continues to wonder, is Bob Stoops going to take another job? Is he going to go somewhere? He's still, you know, young enough that he can go coach again. And I think he's coaching in the XFL or whatever it is now, but we've been waiting for him to take one of those big time program jobs, and he hasn't done it the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And we all thought he would immediately afterwards. So I wonder if that ends up being the same thing, but it's funny that Stoops had a longer track record as a head coach because he took over at Oklahoma in 1999. So he had a few years on Peterson in terms of being a head coach and a little more success because of the national championship. But they're very similar in age in that regard. And I think from a Washington angle, this is interesting now, man. Jimmy Lake's taken over. He's a well-respected coordinator. There's no doubt, but you don't often see defensive-minded guys in this era of college football become head coaches. That's the route they're going to go. You wonder what offensive staff changes they're going to make. A team that drastically disappointed this year and was well below their over-under, a favorite to win the North, and they ended up going 7-5. And I've already seen tweets from recruits' parents that are basically saying, huh? Like, what? What? Peterson stepping down? Like, this hit everybody out of left field. So you got like 2 weeks until the first signing day, and you got to go into a bit of damage control to make sure some of those big-time kids are still committed.
If Peterson has nothing going on for himself, I would almost be willing to bet you Jimmy Lake will be bringing Chris Peterson
sure.
to
if
a lot of the
true,
recruits
yeah.
to say, hey, guys.
I'm still around.
I need a health break.
Yeah.
Jimmy is such a great coach. He's the man for this. You know, I bet yeah. you he would be there with him yeah. to just assure all the 5-4 stars to not decommit and look elsewhere. Swag, how would you feel if I told you he was the head coach of the Cowboys next year? Would you be excited? Would you be meh?
I'd be more optimistic.
Okay.
I would be like, all right.
Yeah.
At least I know he's going to be in control. He's going to do his thing. I don't think he'd ever take it because I don't think he'd put up with
Jerry Jones
having
circus.
To talk about his doing all the talking in the media. He hates media. So
yeah, he does. Yeah. All right. So the big news, Chris Peterson has stepped down as the head coach of Washington. We'll ask Mike Yam about this. We'll talk a little Civil War. The Pac-12 title game is this week with Oregon and Utah. And what does he think about the final Pac-12 standings in terms of where some of these teams finished in the conference? Mike Yam of the Pac-12 Network is joining us next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Ticker time here on The Fan. Mike Yam of the Pac-12 Network is our guest, and he's on Twitter at Mike_Yam. Yam, what were your thoughts, man, when it broke that Chris Peterson has stepped down as the Washington coach and now Jimmy Lake is the man?
Really? On a Monday when all I thought I would be doing is taking a look at Oregon and Utah numbers, trying to dissect the championship game, thinking about the youth as a potential playoff team, and a little bit of chaos, man. I think I was as surprised as anyone. Did not see this coming. And I think in a lot of ways, and I think Jimmy Lake is going to do a tremendous job. And this speaks more to the respect and admiration that I have for Chris Peterson. You know, Pac-12 just took a little bit of a hit. I'd make the argument that Chris Peterson's the top five coach in all of football, but certainly surprised to see this news. And I think if there was the next obvious choice to take over this program, Jimmy Lake was going to be the guy. And I think the defense does not skip a beat because of Jim.
Yeah, that kind of felt like we were getting to that.
Ooh, did we lose him?
I think we lost him.
Did we lose him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Swag doesn't know yet.
Yeah. We got to get him back on. We got to get the Yammers back on.
I don't know who's on the phone right now, but it is random person or Mike Yam. I think off to a weird start, too. Is it kind of...
You're talking like in a tunnel.
Yeah, he's going through a bad tunnel right now. It is. I mean, this was wild news today. It really was. The Jimmy Lake takeover factor, I think, leaves Husky fans... at least you trust the guy. I mean, he's a successful defensive coordinator, and that has been largely what Washington has built everything they've accomplished over the last 4 or 5 years. It's been on that side of the ball. I do think similar to Oregon, and we'll get to that later, now becomes the question of who do you want to be on your offensive staff? What kind of scheme do you want to run? Are there changes that you make in that regard? And are you happy with the success rate that you have on the offensive side? Because that was a big disappointment again this year.
According to Adam Rittenberg of ESPN, there are no health reasons for him personally or his family. This is just, I'm recharging.
Yeah.
And one listener says, I love that your guys' hypothetical hypocrisy. Let things play out before you rip the decision. Good grief. No, I mean, we made it pretty clear. I'm always in support of people doing what they feel is best for them. But when you come out and rip a 19-year-old for wanting to go be better somewhere else and tell them they're quitting, and then you quit, that is hypocrisy.
Yeah.
That is the definition of being a hypocrite.
Right.
So if he wants to do this and it's better for his life, go. All power to you. But it also is what it is.
Yeah.
You're leaving in the middle of your contract. You're doing what's best for you, and... in a way, you're kind of quitting on the kids, too. You're leaving with a new head coach.
Yeah, well, you've seen this a lot with NFL guys retiring in their prime, kind of walking away, just the concussions, the health issues, not worth it for them. They make a lot of money, and they just kind of say, you know what, this isn't the life I want to live. I think you're going to start to see this more from college coaches who've been around a long time. They make good money. You mentioned in the last segment the health risks that go into it and the stress level that is around it. I think this is something that might become more of a recurring trend of coaches just saying, you know what, man, I've accomplished a lot, and whether it's a sabbatical, whether it's a long-term absence, whether you're officially retiring, I wouldn't be surprised if we see this more and more.
We'll give Mike Yam a few more minutes. Sounds like he might be in like a dead zone somewhere down there in the Bay Area. What are your thoughts on Jimmy Lake? Yeah, because you have to start thinking about this from our alma mater perspective, right? You have to take your own team perspective now. Peterson gone, and he was always the big threat. Now, how do you view Jimmy Lake as the head coach as a Duck fan? Or how do, you know, Beaver fan out there, how do you feel about Jimmy Lake?
Well, I think you're excited in the short term, one, because some of the recruits might be up for grabs. A lot of those guys, I'm sure, committed to Chris Peterson. And as I mentioned in the last segment, there's already a handful of people sending out tweets basically saying, what the hell does this mean? So I think there's going to be some sharks in the water around that recruiting class, which is good news for Oregon because Savelle Smalls comes to mind, a big-time defensive end that I'm sure Oregon's going to try and go after in the short term. In this right now, at least, I think you're excited about there being a bit of a power void, but he's got the chance to shut everybody up next year because they open with Michigan, and if they win that game, I think this thing's going to keep rolling.
All right, I think we got him back, Mike Yam of the Pac-12 Network. We lost him for a minute here. Mike, you kind of got interrupted almost immediately when you started talking. It kind of sounded like you're going through a tunnel. Can you give us your thoughts again, if possible, on just Chris Peterson choosing to step down as Washington's coach?
Yeah, I just figured you guys got upset with my assessment of Chris Peterson being a tough out coach in all of football. Look, I'll be honest with you guys, totally surprised. Did not see it coming in a big way. And for as much as I love Jimmy Lake, and I think he's going to do a tremendous job with this football program, I can't help but think, and this has more to do with the respect and admiration I have for Chris Peterson, I can't help but think that the league maybe takes a little bit of a hit overall because CP is that good. And I think Jimmy was the natural choice for a lot of reasons. The defense obviously has been the calling card of this team. His defenses, specifically that secondary, have really performed over the last couple seasons. I know that there was some growing pains this year, but all in all, I'm completely shocked that Chris Peterson decided to step down.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, too, from the recruiting angle, I wonder what it means for them in the short term. What will be the legacy in your mind, though, of Peterson at Washington, a guy who got them back to being a nationally prominent program, couldn't necessarily get over the hump and win that big-time national game, if you will. But what's the legacy of Peterson at Washington?
Nothing but positive things. I mean, from a recruiting class standpoint, I think it helps that Jimmy is the guy that takes over. So I think you're going to be able to hold on to most of your class. But Chris Peterson, guys, he's a top five football coach in all of college football. Brought this team back. They play in a college football playoff. I saw this on Twitter. I don't know who tweeted it, but I think it's actually a pretty good assessment. Can you imagine football over the last 15 years without Chris Peterson, specifically on the West Coast? And I think the answer is no. What he built at Boise was remarkable, and what he did at Washington has been absolutely tremendous.
Yeah. This is Mike Yam of the Pac-12 Network. He's our guest here on the Daily Ticker. We're just talking all things Pac-12 with him. We have been every Monday now for a few weeks during the season. I saw you at the Civil War. I was walking towards the gate. I was far too hammered to stop and say hello, and I did not want to meet Mike Yam hammered. But I saw you guys down there. What were your thoughts on that matchup? It seemed odd. I don't know if it was because how cold it was. It just felt like everybody was there, but not there. What did you think of the Civil War?
Yeah, one, I'm disappointed you did not come over hammered. Two, I don't know if my mouth was opening enough to say hello back because it felt like it was frozen shut.
Yeah.
I think we spent like 8-9 hours. My friend, and look, I'm from the East Coast, the Northeast, so we're used to winters, but it's been 8 years in San Francisco, in California, and I got soft. I don't know how else to describe it right now, but it was cold. You guys are right, though. I mean, I think it felt different. Our guys, after the game, had sort of said the same thing. You know, the offense wasn't as sharp, and I think that's something that I think Mario Cristobal and the staff have to be at least a little concerned about heading into the championship game. I think it's still going to be a great game at Levi's Stadium, but there's no doubt there's a couple things that this program needs to clean up. I don't know, and you guys have been watching them every single play all season long. Like, you know, if they can't win some of those one-on-one battles on the outside against Utah's defense, like, I don't know how they win that football game. To me, that is the biggest factor. You go back to that common opponent, USC. You know, the reason why the Trojans beat Utah, like, those wide receivers just beat the secondary, and simple as that. And guys like Juwan Johnson are going to have to play really big-time football. Michael Pittman's a monster, and there's a reason why he was a finalist for the Biletnikoff, and he willed USC to a lot of wins this season. He was a difference maker in that football game, and they're going to need a difference maker on Friday night.
Yeah, I'll ask you the hypothetical of if Utah wins that game, because I think I'm with you. The way Oregon's played offensively the last 2 weeks, I don't know how people are feeling about them going against that Utah defense. That's just a different animal, probably, than anything they've faced since the opener against Auburn in Dallas. Yeah. If Utah is to win, What do you think their chances are of getting into the playoff? I know how talented you think Utah is, but there's always that worry of, you know, East Coast bias, not giving the conference credit. You got Oklahoma there kind of waiting in the wings with a game against a top 10 team. What do you make of their chances if they are to win Friday night?
Look, I think there's only one, well, two scenarios that keep them out of the playoff. One, a loss on Friday night, which obviously is not part of your hypothetical, but that's one factor. And then two, if Georgia beats LSU, because I do see a world in which the committee goes, LSU's resume and body of work still classify, we should still classify them as a four best team. You're going to take Georgia, which would obviously leave Ohio State and Clemson in that top four. Assuming an LSU win, I think I feel really confident Utah is there. Alabama's not in the conversation. I've been saying that now for a couple of weeks. I came on with you, like, weren't going to be SEC champs. I think it was a moot point to even bring them up. But I just, look, I know people look at the resume for Oklahoma and give them the advantage, and I think in some ways there is, but Utah's got, I just actually just tweeted this out, Utah's got more, got an extra win against the bowl-eligible team, so they got five. Oklahoma's got four. They got a better strength of schedule. The turnover margin is significantly in favor of Utah. We know what the defense is. It's not even comparable, but I'd say this to you guys, and you know this, just, and I think anyone who's listening to Sports Talk Radio understands this. In football, turnovers can really be the difference between being a good team, a bad team, or an elite team. And right now, tied for the eighth fewest in the country is Utah. Tied for 50th is Oklahoma and Baylor. And if you're coughing up the football against Big 12 defenses, what do you think is going to happen when you're in the college football playoff? I just don't. I look at Utah and go, to me, it's as simple as the eye test. They are clearly, in my mind, a better football team.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike Yam of the Pac-12 Network, title game this week on Friday, so we won't have any show. It'll be Oregon and Utah, 5 o'clock. Mike, you're so good and gracious with your time. Thank you so much for hopping back on with us when we lost the connection. We always enjoy having you, my man.
You guys are the best, and please, next time you're drunk, even if I'm anywhere near you, just yell, scream, do something. We got to get some FaceTime together, boys.
Okay, absolutely. We'll get that done. Thank you.
Awesome. Take care, guys.
All right, there we go. Good stuff from Mike Yam of the Pac-12 Network. Let's talk about the Civil War. We were both there in much different capacity. You were a professional. I was not.
We were both freezing our ass off, though. That's the coldest duck game I've been to that I can remember.
That was the common theme in the tailgate. We got there. We were one of the early tailgaters, but from tailgating all the way to kick, the most common thing I heard from Duck and then some of the Beaver fans that we saw, this is the coldest Civil War I've been to. The coldest Civil War I've been to. We'll talk about what that game was, how you feel about Oregon going into the Pac-12 title game next on The Fan. But we might do something for the first time in a long time,
hot
if
route,
ever.
Hot route.
We might move the NFL whip around. We might.
Yeah, I don't. There's too much bone. There's too much meat on the Civil War bone to just do like 5 minutes and then break for NFL and then get back into it. It's too herky-jerky.
Yeah, because, I mean, mostly we've talked about Peterson.
We didn't even talk about the damn game yet, man.
No, we didn't. I was there. I know you were there.
I was there.
Didn't see each other.
No, we did not.
Mainly because I didn't want to walk my cold ass all the way to where you were, because I was on the opposite side.
Yeah, I had a buddy, a couple of buddies that were there tailgating, too, and they were kind of doing, like, because I'm done 2 hours before the game starts. Like, hey, what are you going to do? And I don't have anything to do for 2 hours before the game kicks. And it's like, nah. I'm going to go sit in the Mo Center, man. I'm not walking. Like, I got to sit outside and do a pregame show. I am going to go warm up and then go back outside again.
We had, close to halftime, we went to the Mo Center to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And I had a buddy that just, he got lost. And we said, hey, man, we went back to the seats. Where are you? He's like, oh, I'm still in the Mo Center. It's warm.
It feels good in here.
I was like, well, I don't blame you for that.
No, I don't think it got above 30 degrees the entire day.
I saw Jeff Russ. He was there with his brother. Really, the Russ brothers are really nice guys.
The Russ brothers hanging out, huh?
And they showed up. We hung it out, drinking, just talking. And I thought to myself, Russ is such a better human being than me. Like, if I came here, I would never be seeking people out. I'd be too cold.
Yeah.
And Russ goes, I heard Isaac's here. Have you reached out? And I go, no, probably not going to. He said he's not leaving his tailgate. I'm not leaving mine.
Yeah,
it's too cold.
Just, you're essentially located. You like where you're at. You don't want to move.
But before we get into the game, maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll punt the NFL whip around to two or something, and we can continue on this. But that was the common theme. I know everybody wants to talk about the game, and we'll get to that.
That's how cold it was.
But the most common thing, because we set up shop at around, I want to say it was like 8. No, it was like 9. About 9 a.m., and we were in the donor lot, and it was still pretty empty. Mm-hmm. By the time we set shop up, we had two heaters under one tent, and we were still cold. And then everybody that we talked to around us or that walked past, every single one of them, coldest Civil War I've ever been to.
Yeah, I can't think of the coldest game I've ever been to. Now, some people mentioned to me, I think the Vernon Adams year they played USC at home and they won kind of later in the season. Now, I wasn't at that game, but that's the only one that I've heard reference was in kind of the 20 degree range. And I believe it was a night game that year when they played him. But I've been going to Duck games for the better part of 25 years now. I've been going to games for a long time. Been to a number of Beaver games over the years as well at Reser. Been to a lot of rainy games. Been to a lot of windy games. Been to a lot of foggy games. I cannot remember one that was that cold. It was freezing the entire day. And you kind of wondered at some point, is it going to warm up? Is the sun going to come out? Because sometimes you get those cold weather and then the sun will come out and it kind of heats you up a little bit like a microwave. Did not happen, man. I froze my ass off on Saturday.
I was wearing a face mask the whole game.
I had three layers on. I had hand warmers going, like a beanie on. Nothing helped, man.
Only cold game I could think of in terms of if that was the coldest. And by the way, I love that we're saying this and it was probably 34 degrees outside. Like,
dude, I'm pretty sure somebody had like an official thermometer on the sideline and said it was sub 30 all day.
Jeez, if that's true, then it makes sense. But I think the only other game that I could think of that comes close, Oregon State had a makeup game with Nichols State.
I remember that year, yeah.
And they had to play it after the Civil War.
It was their random senior day because hurricane that year.
It was a hurricane.
Had to cancel.
And it was so random. It happened the week after, and it was pretty late in the year. So that one was cold, and it was actually raining that day, but it still wasn't as cold as it was on Saturday in Eugene. I was frozen.
Well, and on the note, too, I mean, you mentioned with Yam, the atmosphere was just weird. I've been to Oregon games for a long time. It was a weird atmosphere around it. I think part of it was the weather. I think just when you get a game that is that cold, especially that kicks off at 1, so there's not quite enough time to lube up completely to where you want to be, that maybe if the game's starting at 4 o'clock, you got a few extra hours to tailgate and all that kind of stuff, you're a little bit louder. So I do think that plays into it. I also think there was a hangover from last week from the team and from the fan base.
Yeah.
And when you're coming off a tough loss like that, it's a gut punch that you have to all get over at the same time. So I think both those things kind of added to a lack of atmosphere, as did the fact that, I mean, I don't care who you were rooting for, that game sucked, man. Like, can we call a spade? That was an incredibly boring football game. Oregon State didn't have their starting quarterback, which nobody knew until 30 seconds before the game started.
Yeah, that is
out of left field completely.
I saw the reporting. And I'm not calling him out for it. It sounds like that was a top secret all week.
Yeah,
that nobody was allowed to know.
Not telling anybody. He couldn't practice all week. Couldn't throw. They didn't say anything. And I didn't even. If I would have walked over to watch Oregon State warm up, but I didn't because I was doing. We have to do social media stuff for the Ducks. I'm like taking pictures and videos. Hey, Herbert's last game. Blah blah blah. If I would have walked over, it probably would have dawned on me that Jake Luton is not throwing footballs. But I didn't.
But
he had
those gear on.
He did have his gear.
He was out there and he was like handing off. Yeah. He was doing some fake things to hand. So he was out there going 30. Just wasn't throwing.
But even during warmups, nobody had it.
Nobody tweeted.
Until a certain point, until probably the team announced it. But I was in the stands, and you mentioned getting there early enough. We got there early enough. I was pretty lubed up.
Yeah.
I was feeling real good. And my buddy like taps me on the leg and goes, "Hey, who's number 3? And I was like, "What? Where's Luton?" Where is Luton?
Yeah.
I was like, "What? Jebby is in here? What's going on?" I had to open Twitter up and it just says Luton.
The Pac-12 network didn't have it till right before.
Yeah.
I mean, it was,
they
went down to Fight Club on the sidelines like at 12:55 when they finally got word and figured it out.
I don't think it made much of a difference. Like, Jebby played an okay game. I don't think it made a difference between winning and losing or anything, but...
Well, sure. I mean, there's the what-if factor of if he played, how differently could it look? And the other funny
part... The kick return was the difference maker.
That was the deciding part, yeah. When the opposing team runs on the field at Autzen, they run out of their tunnel, and they usually run across the field, and they kneel in front of their stand. They have that one section of visitors, and I was standing by that end zone when Oregon State took the field, and they all ran over, and usually the guys will run over, and they'll kind of pump up their little portion of the crowd, and then they'll take a knee, and they'll say a prayer before the game. A number of guys will do it in the end zone, and I remember standing down there, and, you know, the Beaver fans are talking Beavers are talking to Duck fans. It's kind of funny, the good atmosphere, and Jonathan Smith starts walking down towards the end zone. I'm like, huh. Usually coaches don't do that. He's over on the sideline getting ready, and he's walking over, and he's waiting for one player to finish praying. And then I see who that player is when he stands up. It's Jebbia. And he like puts his arm around him and he's like, they're kind of, you know, fist pumping a little bit.
But you didn't think in
the moment.
They're
walking back to the sideline together, like talking. And I'm thinking to myself, this is weird. Why is he like taking time out of the pregame routine to talk to one-on-one the backup quarterback for the game? And then it dawned. And then all of a sudden, Jebbia took the field. It's like, aha, light bulb went off. That's why.
Let's talk about the game itself and just where Oregon is at right now. We got a question on Oregon State that we'll get to. And I finally had a Duck fan trash talk me.
Was it mean-spirited?
I'll let you know. Okay. It actually ended up being pretty funny.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what that is, and we'll talk Civil War. What your thoughts where Oregon is at right now and what you've seen the last 2 weeks. The way the season ended for Oregon State, we'll talk about that. We're going to bump NFL whip around to 2. Don't go anywhere. We got a loaded second hour. More college football. Dirt and Sprague with you on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.